Testing, 1, 2, 3. Too loud. Too loud. Testing, 1, 2, 3, 4. All right, we're almost ready. 1, 2, 3, 4. What are we going to talk about?
Well, I mean, we're going to talk about South Carolina. We're going to talk about,
South Carolina. I was reading something, but they didn't go into any detail. They were talking about Coach Spurrier being something about Darth Visor, you know, like from Star Wars, Darth Vader.
What
is that about?
Well, when he started out at Florida, and you know, he's especially in his younger days, he was really emotional, and if something didn't go right, he would let that visor fly. He was always just throwing the visor around. Well, it was around the time I guess Star Wars had been big or whatever, and so they started calling the man Darth Visor instead of Vader, of course.
Oh, that's great.
And, of course, it caught on. And then, Darth Visor. Wow. I hadn't thought about that in a while. It's crazy.
Leia, Han, I can feel that Darth Visor has entered the Auburn star system.
Who?
Visor. Darth Visor? The one SEC coach who refuses to retain physical contact with his sun visor. You know, he throws it.
Oh no, he's here!
I sense that the Hun is strong with this one. Obi-Gus must be here, and so he must be destroyed.
Help us, Obi-Gus Kenobi. You are our only hope. Help us, Obi-Gus Kenobi. If you can keep your visor on during the game against South Carolina, Auburn can get back to getting prepared to go against teams like Ole Miss and Alabama.
The following is an AUFans.com production. War Eagle.
Touchdown, Auburn! Touchdown, Auburn!
Oh, yeah! War Eagle, baby! It is on! Woo!
This is Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay.
Can you help me? I think I took a wrong turn somewhere.
Real Auburn fans bleed orange and blue. What about you? And now, your hosts, Stan Stevens and Jay Webb, for AUFans.com.
Welcome, everybody, and War Eagle. I am your host, Stan Stevens.
And I'm Jay Webb, and this is Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay.
All right.
Well, what about it, Stan? So what's coming up this week?
Well, we've been off a couple of weeks, Jay, or we'll be by Saturday. As far as playing a game, you know, we were off. We defeated Open.
Oh yeah. How have we survived this long with no football?
Well, it's we had a show that last week. That's how. I know, and it took a little while to get over those cowbells ringing.
Ugh.
But it's game week, Jay. Of course, we start the gauntlet, is as it's been referred to, starting with South Carolina.
It is upon us.
Yes, and South Carolina starts it off Saturday at Saturday night in Jordan-Hare Stadium.
Right.
I want to mention here, Jay. This is going to be quite the challenge. Now, South Carolina, up to this point, hasn't been the team that everybody thought they were going to be in the preseason.
Yeah.
But Jay, down the line, we're still facing currently the number. We got the number three team in the country, Ole Miss, coming up. We also play at the end of the season the current number four team, Alabama, and also the current number nine team, Georgia. Mm-hmm. And that's, you know, again, that's not including South Carolina and Texas A&M, who have, you know, obviously kind of gone backwards a little bit, but still worthy and tough opponents. But again, starting this weekend with South Carolina, Saturday night, in Jordan-Hare, as I mentioned, Jay, South Carolina has been a little, well, has actually been a major disappointment. I mean, a lot of publications were picking the Gamecocks to win the Eastern Division of the Southeastern Conference, and it just hadn't worked out for them. Now, they did have a huge win at home against Georgia, and that's right now Georgia's only defeat. So I'll say this, in the SEC, Jay, and it's, you know, it's cliche, but it really is true, and this season's almost proved it. Every week, any team can beat, you know, another team. I mean, let's just look around just briefly, and I'll go into this week's results later in the SEC, but, you know, how do you explain Alabama Crimson Tide 14, Arkansas 13, and then 59-0 over a Texas A&M team that absolutely started the season off, Jay, clobbering South Carolina. South Carolina. So, and really, and I have to admit, I was one of them. After seeing South Carolina play, Texas A&M play South Carolina on the road that first week, that first Thursday night, the defense did look better. A&M's defense looked better than a year ago, which was really porous. I mean, their offense looked like it was picking up right where Johnny Manziel had left it. And South Carolina should have been better than that, but gave up, 58 points or whatever it was. So, and then when I had completely written South Carolina off, they beat a Georgia team that, well, we'll get to Georgia in a minute. Georgia barely beats Tennessee at home, then travels to Missouri the next week and shuts Missouri out, travels to Arkansas this past week. Again, I'm getting a little ahead of myself about this week's past action, or this past weekend's action. But, 38-6 at halftime in Fayetteville, Arkansas. So that's why more than anything, Auburn has got to be ready. They've got to put the disappointment Mississippi State behind them. That is the one really good thing about having this open week. You know, we had a chance to rest some kids, and we had a few days off. Then, of course, the coaches were working, obviously, the whole time, self-evaluation, Jay, where they go in and scout Auburn. Just like they were going to play Auburn, they look at the tendencies, in different formations. What are we running most of the time? You know, second long, first and, 10. What plays are we running? What keys are we giving up? Because, Jay, that's how the opponents scout you. They look at, obviously they go over your film and they look at the tendencies. What are you doing in certain situations? Well, what the Auburn coaches and any coaches that do this, what they're trying to do is look at what we're doing. Are we doing the same types of thing 90% of the time, 50% of the time, and then try to change some of that up?
Yeah.
Literally go against maybe, what that defense is going to be keying on. So that was, again, a really good thing that we had during the off time. Now, I'm going to make some predictions here, Jay, about some of the stuff that you're going to see Saturday that maybe we didn't see up through the Mississippi State game.
Okay.
There's been a lot of talk about the offensive line. We've had some injuries. Of course, we had, as I talked last week, we lost Greg Robinson, who went to the NFL early. We lost Alex Kozan. He got hurt in preseason. So we've not been quite as strong up front. Now, we're still doing okay up front. There's a freshman, Braden Smith, and we've talked about him, and he actually played some tight end against Mississippi State. Don't be surprised if you see Braden Smith maybe – if he doesn't start, I wouldn't be surprised to see him in the game early at one of the guard positions. Now, I don't know exactly how that's going to shake out the rest of the offensive line, but somebody's going to be moving maybe to – I think Braden Smith's going to be playing one of the guards, Jay, and Avery Young is going to go out to right tackle. Now, that's kind of what I'm predicting. As far as in the backfield – Rock Thomas, five-star true freshman, and you saw some bursts out of him against Mississippi State.
Yeah, we're starting to see a little bit more of him.
You're going to see, I think, a lot more come Saturday.
I think
Again,
so.
That's my another – I think Rock – Thomas is going to, I think he's going to get quite a few more touches, maybe 15 or 20 touches Saturday night. Along with, you may even see Peyton Barber. Here again, not much mentioned. A lot of people don't know Peyton Barber. He's gotten in just for a few plays. He looks really explosive. Now, that's not to say, I mean, I think the coaches are happy with Cameron Artis Payne. Mm-hmm. I mean, he's averaging over 100 yards a game. He's been solid. But, Rock Thomas gives you – there's a spark there, and it's kind of hard to, say what it is. But there's just a little bit of an elusiveness perhaps that Cap doesn't have. You might see Jeremy Johnson a little bit. Now, I'll tell you, Jay, one – not necessarily disappointing. I mean, I've been real happy with Nick Marshall. I think Nick still, if we're to be with the team we were last year, we got to make that run game go somehow. And Nick Marshall's still the trigger guy on that zone read and running the football. But I wouldn't mind seeing Jeremy Johnson in for a few series. Not necessarily bring him in and have him and Nick in the game. I mean, that's if Coach Miles on. That's what he wants, then that's good by me. But
there you go.
I'd like to see Jeremy Johnson maybe have a few series just to himself.
Mm-hmm.
Well,
he plays well, and I think it it seems like an advantage to bring him in at least some.
Right. Yeah. So I'm those are some of the things. Another guy that I'll be interested in see going forward what role he continues to play is Corey Grant. Mm-hmm. Corey Grant in the preseason, he's a senior. Jay, and he actually had more touches and stuff last year. I mean, he by all, most accounts he's bigger and stronger this year, faster. Yeah. I'm not sure exactly what's happened that we hadn't been able to maybe get Corey a little more involved. So, to me, the exciting part of all this is, of course, Coach Malzahn and Coach Lashley. I mean, I don't know if there's two better offensive minds in the conference. We've got a lot of weapons we just haven't been using. I mean, I talked in the preseason about some receivers, I had been reading about.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't know. Last year after the LSU game, we get beat. It was similar to the Mississippi State game in that, we kept fighting. But after that LSU game, same thing, and it was earlier in the season, but Coach Malzahn went back and looked at what we were doing well, what we were not doing, what some kids could do, what they couldn't do, and made some adjustments, and the rest of it's history. I mean,
a definite turnaround right after that LSU game.
And the most, mm-hmm. I mean, probably the most prolific offense in Auburn history. I mean, it was just – so – just because that happened last year doesn't mean it's automatically going to happen this year. But, I think we've got more weapons. And again, on paper, there's that old saying, they don't play games on paper. But, I mean, it would look like we still got a lot of stones that we've left, unturned as far as offensive firepower. So. Yeah. And defensively, we're better than we were last year, Jay. Again, you can't turn the football over, and you can't have untimely penalties and on like we did against Mississippi State and continue to win, especially with this schedule we've got left.
Yeah. Well, these guys, like Mississippi State, I mean, it seemed to me like every time there was a turnover, if the turnover was in our favor – we still couldn't take advantage of it. They kept stopping us.
That's key.
On the other side of that, if we turned the ball over, they were running over us.
Well, here's the thing about that. Not all turnovers are created equal, and this is what I mean by that. We were turning the ball over on our end of the field. We were giving Mississippi State a short field, and they took advantage of it. And as I mentioned the last show, we got them, though, in third and long on that first turnover. And really could have held them maybe to a field goal attempt. Yeah. They score on third and long. They score a touchdown. Again, the defense, you can't do that if you do. But their turnovers kept them from scoring, but they were on our end of the field. We had an interception in the end zone, so we get the ball out on the 20 kind of thing.
Mm-hmm.
But, That's right. If you know, we have to. I mean, we've got to eliminate. I mean, Coach Malzahn doesn't have, you know, teams with 4 and 5 turnovers and just penalties. That's just not characteristic. So we'll see going forward if we can clean any of that up. So again, looking at South Carolina again, they've got a 5th-year senior. Dylan Thompson is their quarterback. They've got Mike Davis, one of the better running backs in this league when he's healthy. And they say at least he is healthy. So I think Auburn's defense is going to have to shut the run down like they've been pretty good against the run. Now, State was pretty balanced, and they had a better running game than most have had. I think we've got to force Dylan Thompson to beat us through the air. If we can do that, I think we can slow them down. And we got to, the offense has got to go back playing, you know, like it did in the second half against Arkansas. I mean, and then, of course, like it did in the second half of the season last year. And if we do that, we should be okay. In fact, Jay, I'm going to go ahead. I'm going to make my prediction this week. Auburn 38, South Carolina 20.
Oh, I like it.
Yeah, that's right, folks. 38-20. So,
you going to give them 20 points?
Well,
I hope we don't.
You know, I'd like to say like 38-7, but I, you know, something tells me in those kind of games and Coach Spurrier, they'll find a way to get, you know, 20. Maybe they'll be 13 and get a late touchdown. Let's hope. But now, you know, kind of in this vein, I think you perhaps have a top 10 list of reasons why we're going to win.
Well, I certainly do. I have 10 very good reasons why I think Auburn will be winning this football game. And here we go with number 10.
Number 10.
Auburn has had 2 weeks to prepare for this game. Okay. Reason number 9, Coach Malzahn is preparing Auburn for the gauntlet, and South Carolina is victim number 1.
All right.
Reason number 8, in what world could a chicken conquer a tiger?
Number
7, Coach Malzahn always keeps his visor on. Spurrier, not so much.
That's important.
And, you know, young visor beats old visor any day of the week. So number 5, Jordan-Hare Stadium on a Saturday night. Winner, winner, chicken dinner. We're having Gamecocks for supper tonight.
I like it. I like it. Right. I do.
Number 4, Auburn will yield a higher number of points due to field goals and touchdown passes than South Carolina.
Wow, Jay, that's almost like we're going to score more points than they are.
That's amazingly similar to that. Okay. Now, reason number 3, there are no Mississippi teams on the South Carolina schedule. Yeah.
They
got an easy schedule.
That's
except for us, right?
That's right.
I hadn't thought of that till just now. Okay, number 2. Reason number 2 that Auburn will win this football game. Yes, South Carolina beat Vandy, but they allowed Vanderbilt to score 34 points, which is twice what Vandy had scored in the other three SEC games that they've played combined.
Wow.
Does that make sense?
That is, yes.
All right. So the number 1 reason is that South Carolina doesn't ever win against Auburn. Not Saturday, not ever.
Really? Never?
Okay, well, there was that one time in 1933. But come on!
Well,
1933.
Well, that's a long time ago, wasn't it?
All right, so.
There you go. Well, all right, folks, I hope you're writing those top 10 reasons down, because, and let's just see how many of them that Jay actually nailed. I like the young visor thing, though. That's kind of reminds me of that earlier thing we did with, well, anyway. All right, so that covers the Gamecocks and the Tigers for this Saturday. Let's Jay, it's about that time, I guess, to look back at this past weekend's games.
Okay.
And then I'll look ahead at the other SEC games this weekend. All right, so last weekend, I'm calling it blowout SEC Saturday.
Oh yeah.
The if you look at each one of the games, Jay, the starting with the Crimson Tide, 59-0 over Texas A&M. Now, I don't know what happened in that game. I watched a good bit of it. I mean, the Tide just, I mean, they every phase of the game. In fact, I don't know that I've seen Alabama play a better game now. That Texas A&M team is not the team I saw play South Carolina start the year. Now, but not to take anything away from Alabama. I mean, Alabama just beat A&M in every way that you can beat a football team. You had, of course, our opponent this week, South Carolina, coming up, beat Furman. Pretty much ho-hum game there. It was 41-10. Let's see. You had Georgia, as I had mentioned earlier, went into Arkansas. The score ended up 45-32, Jay, which is not technically a blowout, but it was 38-6 at halftime, and that pretty much ended the Pigs' chance for beating the Bulldogs.
Yeah.
In one of the stranger games in SEC maybe history, Missouri gained a grand total of 119 yards total offense. That usually wouldn't be even maybe a good quarter of a game. But the reason for that, Jay, is they didn't have that many possessions because Florida allowed a kickoff return for a touchdown, a punt return for a touchdown, had an interception that they ran back for a touchdown, and I think a fumble. So Missouri's offense really didn't get a chance to get on the field that much because Florida's ineptness. I mean, Will Muschamp is gone. I mean, I don't know what Coach Muschamp could do short of maybe winning out, perhaps beating Georgia and Florida State in the same year might save his job. But I think it's you can tell that Gainesville is going to be having a new head coach next season. So Florida lost 42-13 at home. I mean, who can figure out, boy, you're talking about Jekyll and Hyde. I mean, Missouri goes in and beats South Carolina, comes home and gets just skunked by Georgia. Then they turn around and go on the road, and they're able to get turnovers and just basically end Will Muschamp's career in the swamp. So, LSU, and this didn't surprise me. In fact, this was one of the games that I told you last week. I wasn't ready for Kentucky to pick Kentucky over LSU, and it's a good thing because LSU 41-3 over the Mildcats. Kentucky had looked really, really, really good, considering. Mm-hmm. And LSU really brought them back down to earth. So,
wow.
And then finally, in a game that was really much closer than the final score ended up being, at least especially for a half. Again, Tennessee played really good defense the first half. They end up Ole Miss basically scores a touchdown on the last play of the game, and Ole Miss wins 34-3. So it's a 31-point victory, which is pretty big. But to Tennessee's credit, they defensively played Ole Miss pretty well. But if the Vols, and I'll talk a little bit about this in a second for this week's game, but the Vols better find an offensive line somewhere. Or they're going to be in trouble, but so that was pretty much it from last week's game, Jay. The only crow that I ate, I say the only crow that I ate was the Missouri Florida game, and I don't think anybody could predict six turnovers or whatever it was Florida did. So
Now
looking ahead to this week. Well, Texas A&M, Florida, and Georgia, they all get a big W over Open this week.
Go Open.
That's right. So, it's kind of a light schedule, but, obviously I think Auburn, South Carolina is one of the bigger games. But a couple of games jumps out at you. You see, Mississippi State is traveling to Kentucky. So we'll see if Kentucky can get up off the floor at all and compete against a Mississippi State team that's number one in the nation.
Man,
I'm gonna have to say Bulldogs roll in that one. Yeah. We'll see if Mississippi State's been reading their press clippings.
I wonder if anybody would predict it the other way.
No, I mean, nobody's picking the cat. Maybe they can keep it close. I doubt it. Vanderbilt travels to Missouri. I'm not sure what's going to happen in that game, except that Vanderbilt's going to lose. I mean, it's even – I don't think Missouri can lose at home to Vandy. But then, you know, you've got the and, of course, Arkansas plays at home against UAB. So Arkansas probably will get a much-needed win against the Blazers out of Birmingham. And then your other – your other big game, the big rivalry game, but it is Alabama travels to Knoxville to play Tennessee. Now, ooh. Honestly, Jay, it's been a while since this has really been a rivalry. I mean, the Tide has pretty much owned the Vols these last several years and by pretty big scores. I like Tennessee's defense to, you know, make a game of it at home early. I think Alabama would have to do a whole lot to keep Tennessee in the game. I mean, it's, you know, I don't want to be overly influenced by what they did against Texas A&M, because just the week before, it looked like it might be a game against Tennessee the way they played against Arkansas. But I gotta say Alabama 31-7. I think it's just going to be, you know, I think the Alabama's defense is just going to be too much for that Tennessee offensive line.
All right, well, we'll see.
And then finally, you've got another this is an interesting game. Ole Miss, third in the country, travels to Baton Rouge to play their arch rival, the LSU Tigers. Ole Miss is going to win the game, Jay, because they're just better. But, LSU's getting better. I think they're getting better every week. Now, the competition, they played Florida, they played Kentucky. You know, that's not exactly a gauntlet.
Yeah.
Maybe more like a high hurdle, perhaps. I don't know. Anyway, I think LSU at home is going to play better. Ole Miss beats them, though. I just don't see LSU being able to move the ball consistently against the Rebels' defense. It's got to be something like Ole Miss 27 to maybe – maybe 17. I think maybe LSU keeps it close.
All right.
So that's this week in around the SEC, Jay. All right. So, Jay, we got to go. We got to get South Carolina Saturday night. That starts a six-game run without any weeks off to end the season. So if Auburn wants to fulfill the dreams and goals they've had to start the season, we got to get South Carolina. And then, of course, it's on from there through that gauntlet, as we mentioned earlier.
All right. Well, that's it for this week then. And it's been a pleasure, Stan, as always.
Well, Jay, yeah.
All right. So listen up for a great game this weekend, and then listen into the podcast next week, where we'll be reviewing the South Carolina game and doing all kinds of fun stuff like that.
And don't forget, we'll talk about the Ole Miss Rebels.
Oh, yeah, Oxford, Mississippi. We'll be looking forward to that one. So, y'all take care. Have a great week. And we're going to play some music here to go out. This is Set for Life. The song is Give or Taker. And you can check out the guys from Set for Life. Just go to Facebook and type in Set for the number 4, Life. And then we also want to say big thank you to Antonio at La Placida Mexican Restaurant in Madison.
War Eagle, Jay.
War Eagle.
You've been listening to Talking Tigers Football with Stan and Jay, with your hosts, Stan Stevens and Jay Webb. This has been a production of AUFans.com in association with Webb and Stevens Unlimited Media. Thank you for listening, and War Eagle!